Kraft Music Hall, starring Don Ameche with Connie Boswell, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Music Maids, and Jerry Lester.
I always just get in there at the end.
That's right. Don's special guests for this evening include Melvin Douglas.
Oh, yeah. Know them both well, Melvin and Douglas.
As our second guest, the lovely concert star, Florence George.
Oh, yeah. Know them both well, Florence and George.
And one of our favorite young cinema stars, Jackie Cooper.
How do I get out of that one?
Oh, and here's Connie Boswell.
The tall man with the high hat and the whiskers on his chin
will soon be knocking at your door, and you ought to be in.
The tall man with the high hat will be coming down your way.
Get your savings out when you hear him shout, and he bonds today.
And he bonds today. Bonds of freedom, that's what I'm selling, and he bonds today.
Up the most you can.
Here comes the freedom man asking you to buy a share of freedom today. Any stance today, we'll be blessed if we all invest in the USA.
Here comes the freedom man.
Can't make tomorrow's plan, not unless you buy a share of freedom today.
And then came the Poles,
and then the Norwegians with 3 million
souls. Then came the Dutch, the Belgians, the French, then all of the Balkans with hardly a chance.
It's all in the book, if you only look. It's there if you read the text.
They fell, everyone, at the point of a gun. America,
all you do will be spent to live in the Yankee way.
Scrape up the most you can.
Here comes the freedom man asking you to buy a share of freedom today.
Oh, well done, Connie. But I've got the short version.
Yeah, you would have the short version.
Listen, Ameche, the best things come in little packages.
How's your version go, Jerry?
Well, here it is. If of Uncle Sam you're fond, buy yourself a savings bond. If you think he is a champ, get yourself a savings stamp.
Say, Jerry, that's kind of cute, what there is of it.
Oh, you like it, Connie? I made it up out of my own head.
Well, that's kind of cute, too, what there is of it.
Oh, well, don't worry. I'm correcting that. I'm taking care of myself.
Taking care of yourself? What became of the fellow in the white coat who used to take care of you?
He talked too much, just like you, so he became a barber, smarty.
Well, look, are you really taking care of yourself, Jer? I mean, were you on the level about that exercising last week?
Oh, yeah. And am I watching my diet, Ken?
So?
Oh, yeah. You should see the raw salads I eat. Nothing like a good raw salad to make you healthy. Raw carrots, raw peas, raw string beans, raw cabbage.
Well, really? Do you eat everything raw?
No, I usually dress for dinner.
I suppose that's because you can't stand to eat your meat raw.
Who can't? At the restaurant where I eat, that's the only way they'll serve it.
Oh, now, Jared, don't tell me they serve meat that's actually raw.
Well, maybe it's not actually raw, but out on the plains, they cook beef more than that when they brand it.
Recommend vegetable juice. I take that myself.
That's no recommendation.
No, seriously, Jerry, you ought to do something about your nerves. When we were having lunch this noon, I noticed you seemed nervous and jumpy.
It was that coffee we had.
The coffee? Well, that's silly. Mine didn't affect me that way. I wasn't jumpy.
No, but yours didn't spill in your lap.
Well, I still think it wouldn't do you any harm to take some celery juice to strengthen your nerves. You know, celery is a great nerve tonic.
Oh, sure. I know all about how good celery is for the nerves. Why, on the last job I had, before asking the boss for a raise, I ate a large stalk of celery.
Yeah, what happened?
He threw me out. He had eaten 2 stalks.
Well, of course, you should eat other kinds of green vegetables, too.
Oh, I do, Don. I'm keen for greens. I eat all kinds of vegetables, even artichokes.
Even artichokes? Well, artichokes are a great delicacy.
I don't like them. They're too tantalizing.
Well, you mean the flavor's tantalizing?
Nah. The artichoke is tantalizing, like a striptease. Well, an old artichoke man, you know.
I see. Well, what kind of vegetables do you like? I mean, are you, for instance, partial to stewed tomatoes?
Oh, pa's not. No stewed tomatoes for me.
Well, why not?
They step on my feet when we dance.
course, besides what's eating, what's good for you, you've got to avoid overeating. You got to count those old calories. You
know? Oh, I do, D.A. Why, on account of having had my quota of calories yesterday, I couldn't go out with a certain girl last night.
Why?
Well, she's a peach, and peaches are 40 calories. I said.
Well, I don't think she missed much. Can't be an awful lot of fun going out with a guy who's on a diet. You probably watch everything your girl eats, too.
Oh, I'm very careful of what she eats. If she starts to order anything over the dollar dinner, I kick her under the table.
When you're on a health diet, Jerry, don't you find it's more satisfactory to eat at home?
Yeah, I like to invite people over to the house for health meals.
Well, can you really make those health meals taste good?
Oh, can I?
Huh?
Boy, what I served last night really melted in the people's mouths.
Well, what'd you serve?
Ice cubes.
Ah, he's just modest, Ken. As a matter of fact, Jerry's a pretty good cook.
Oh, what did you tell him for, you snitcher?
No, wait a minute. That's a wonderful gift, Jerry, being able to cook. When you want something special, all you have to do is to go into the kitchen and make it and eat it.
Oh, not me, Ken. I make it, but I don't eat it.
Yes, I've heard some cooks say that cooking takes away their appetites.
Well, it's not that, Ken. I just don't seem to have the courage of my own concoctions.
Well, at least you realize that the proper foods taken in the proper proportion and properly prepared give you the right amount of red and white corpuscles.
Yeah, but I'm being careful. I had a friend who dieted too carefully and got so many red and white corpuscles they showed right through his skin.
Well, what'd he do?
Got a job as a barber pole.
Of course, there are different kinds of diets. If you're dieting for appearance's sake, why, you'll avoid things that contain too much starch. Too much starch doesn't do your appearance any good, you know.
You said it. Stiff collars make me look like a D.O.P. dope.
W-E-L, well.
Well, solid. Look at me, J-M-E.
S-O-L, yeah.
Talk. We'll get into a whole... We just spell these out so the band won't know, you know? Talk about dieting for health, Don. A friend of mine had such high blood pressure, he had to go on a diet.
Oh, did it bring his blood pressure down?
Did it. His blood pressure's so low now, he has to have an hour's notice to work up a blush.
Say, Jerry, in this health regimen of yours, do you include massage?
Oh, there's nothing like massage to reduce you in certain spots. A friend of mine used to go to a masseur just to have his head massaged.
Oh, he just wanted to reduce from the neck up, huh?
Yeah, he was an awful fathead.
Well, I've heard of masseurs who specialized in massaging people's faces.
Oh, sure, panhandlers.
Oh, I think it's wonderful.
I said it, and I'm glad. There.
Well, if I were you, I'd stop.
Well, you can.
Well, I think it's wonderful the way those masseurs work. Why, they can actually take fat off one place and put it on another.
Oh, that's a fact, Ken. Masseurs worked on a friend of mine till they took the fat off his hips and put it on his stomach.
They did?
Yep, now he sits in his own lap.
Well, there's one thing I'm glad of, Jerry. You're not trying to build up your health with pills.
Oh, pills can be all right under certain circs, Don. For instance, I have a friend who takes pills for a sluggish liver.
But are the pills helping a sluggish liver?
Nope. Every time a pill comes down, his liver slugs it.
Are you taking any vitamin pills, Jerry?
Oh, B1. What else?
Oh, are those B1 pills the same vitamin pills that John Scott Trotter is getting a lift out of?
Oh, no, Ken. B1's no good for John Scott.
Oh?
To give Trotter a lift, you need B19.
Did your dietitian tell you to eat foods containing plenty of iodine?
Uh-huh. But I don't like iodine, so instead I take a little Mercurochrome.
You rub it on your steak, I suppose.
Yeah, there's nothing like good red meat.
Meat's great, Jer. But you know, you don't have to eat meat to get the proper amount of protein in your diet.
As if I didn't know, Donzo.
Oh, you know, huh?
As if I hadn't made a study of it.
Oh, yeah?
As if I weren't aware that cheese is a very effective substitute for meat.
Yeah, well, do you like cheese, Jer?
Are you kidding?
I think he's on the level, Jerry.
Well, Ken, we'd better do something.
I think so.
We'd better talk to him.
Anything I can do to help him in?
Well, you might do a couple of choruses of Maria Elena, Connie, while Ken and I take Don aside.
Okay, men. You ready, John Scott?
Your voice is like the echo of the sigh.
And when you're near, my heart can't speak above a sigh.
You know the reason why.
Maria Elena say that we will never part.
And tell me you can.
Maria Elena take me to your heart.
So when you need me, darling, I'll be there.
A love like mine is great enough for two. To share this love is really all I ask of you.
Maria Elena, you're the answer to a prayer. Maria Elena, can't you see how much I care? To me, your voice is like the echo of a sigh. And when you're near, my heart can't speak above a sigh.
Maria Elena, say that we will never part.
Maria Elena,
Maria Elena, Elena, take me to your heart.
A love like mine is great enough for two.
To share this love.
Share all this love.
Is all I ask of you,
Maria Elena.
Oh, that is really, really swell, Connie.
Ain't it the truth, Don? See, Connie could teach anybody the ABCs of singing.
Oh, and speaking of ABCs, Jerry, here's our friend with the ABCs of eating.
The ABCs of eating? You mean the ever-loving vitamins?
That's exactly what I mean, Jerry. Just give a listen.
These are days when good nutrition for Americans takes on a new importance. So it behooves every one of us to know our vitamin ABCs, to appreciate the importance of food values. Well, that's why I'm bringing you a few facts about the nutrition of Velveeta, Kraft's popular cheese food. Hidden in Velveeta's rich, mild cheddar cheese flavor, there are food values every one of us needs. Milk protein to help build strong muscles. Milk minerals to help build sound teeth and bones. Food energy for pep, vitamin A, and vitamin G. And on top of all this, Velveeta's pasteurized and adjustable as milk itself. So you see, Velveeta snacks and sandwiches are good for the family. And hot dishes rich with Velveeta are worthy of the main place at dinner or luncheon. Enjoy this famous cheese food regularly. Get the thrifty 2-pound Velveeta loaf. Or if your dinner tables run from a kitchenette, the 1/2-pound package. The whole family will love rich yet mild Velveeta.
Two in love can face the world together. Hearts that cuddle up will muddle through. The world rock and rumble, crowds may groan and grumble, throngs may even tumble too. Darling, who in love can face the stormy weather, laugh aloud at every cloud above? Show them all what love can do for you and I are two in love.
Two in love can face the world together. Hearts that cuddle up will muddle through. Rumble and the crowds may groan and grumble, groan
angels above, and so we'll show them all what love can do for you and I are two.
Nice, Connie. In fact, Two in Love might very well be the theme song of Melvin Douglas's new Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, The Two-Faced Woman.
Say, Mel, is that the one in which both faces are Greta Garbo?
That's the one, Connie.
Imagine being in a picture with two Garbos. Gee, that must be swell, Mel.
Yeah, Jerry.
Just goes to show, I thought Melvin Douglas had gone as far as anybody could go in pictures when he was in Ninotchka, struggling along with only one Garbo. Imagine, two Garbos. Now I understand, Melvin, why my girl calls you Douglas D.C. 2.
Yeah. Douglas D.C. 2. Meaning, I presume, that I'm out of date.
Oh, no, she was out of date. You see, she was introduced to you one night at Ciro's, and she asked you to phone her.
Oh, then she doesn't think I'm obsolete, huh?
Oh, no. And she didn't plan to go hugless, Douglas. So, a week later, she accidentally ran into you on purpose at Macombo, and again she asked you to phone her.
Well, I still don't understand why she calls me Douglas D.C. 2.
Douglas didn't call twice.
You know, it's funny. I don't seem to place this girl you're talking about, Jerry. Is she pretty?
Is she pretty?
Yeah.
You know those beautiful girls that swam in the World's Fair Aquacade?
Yeah.
Well, when they were finished, she mopped up the pool.
Oh, I see. She was on the Aquacade scrub team, huh? Yeah. Why do you suppose she wanted me to phone her?
Well, she thinks your voice sounds like one of those guys on the radio who gives out advice on human relations.
Oh, does she really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting. I wouldn't have thought she had any relations who were human.
Yeah. Her relations are human for almost two generations back.
Is that so? Gee, well, how far back do you go?
Now wait a minute, Doug. You're not going to make a monkey out of me.
Well, isn't it a little bit too late? Wouldn't that be overdoing it a little bit?
People have been saying those things ever since my aunt showed up on Dollar Day with Gargantua. Silly girl.
Did you get your aunt mixed up with Gargantua?
Yeah, a little. What? And this is the character that babe picked out to give kindly, sympathetic advice to those who have been struck by the cruel blows of fate.
Yeah, and I think she made a good choice, too, Jerry. Mel's one of those versatile actors who can do anything. And he would undoubtedly come up with something distinctly his own as the benevolent, understanding, and kindly custodian of the court of bombastic relations.
The court of... Are you kidding?
Take over the court, Your Honor.
Oh, yes. The court of bombastic relations is in session. Judge Douglas presiding.
Before proceeding with the hearings, I would like it understood that this is not a court of justice. If there were any justice, I wouldn't be here. This court has no power whatsoever. We can do nothing, absolutely nothing. But if you're in trouble, unhappy, disconsolate, blue, oh boy, we sure do love to hear about it. We now proceed with the first case.
Here, Your Honor, is the first case.
Proceed with your problem, Mr. Case.
Well, Judge, I'm a fellow, and my name...
Don't mention any names, please.
As I was saying, I'm a fellow, and my name...
Please, I asked you not to mention any names.
Oh, well, that's all right. You don't have to worry. I can't think of it.
You are just the type we like to have in this court, young man. Now, just state your problem, briefly, please.
I've been married 18 times.
That's not a problem. That's a project.
They told me to come to you for advice.
If you've been married 18 times, you don't need advice. You need a convoy.
Is that your advice?
Yes. This court feels that if you've been married 18 times, you should not be here asking advice.
Oh, no?
Definitely no.
Oh.
You should be here giving advice.
Oh. Well, I was wondering, I mean about those 18 wives. Should I be paying them alimony?
Alimony? For 18 wives?
Yeah.
No, naturally, that's out of the question.
Yeah.
But it seems to this court that you should work out some sort of a pension plan.
Well, is that all you can tell me to do?
Yes, that's all. I'd feel embarrassed telling you anything.
Well, thanks, Judge, and my sincere appreciation of this advice will be in the mail in the morning.
No. We appreciate your gratitude, young man, but we cannot accept any money.
Oh, I'm not sending you any money.
You're not? Well, what then?
An invitation to my next wedding.
They never learn. Before proceeding with the next case, this course wishes to remind you that we have no power whatever to do anything at all about anything. We're merely listening to the troubles of the world for our own amusement. Next case.
Here, Your Honor, is the second case.
Oh, proceed, Miss Case.
Oh, Judgy, a man owes me a lot of money, and I thought maybe you could help me. Could you, Judgy Wudgy?
Well, if you're going to put it that way, about how much I'll see you through.
Oh, Judgy, would you really?
I might be able to see about a loan for you.
Honest to goodness, Judgy, would you really do something about getting a loan for poor little me?
Why, yes, of course I would. How would you like it if I planned to get you a loan this evening?
Oh, Judgy. Oh, Judgy, about what time?
Well, about 1:15. I guess we can postpone further hearings on this case. See you later, babe. Before proceeding with the next fascinating, gripping human problem, may I remind you that this court absolutely cannot do a thing for you. We just want to find out what a mess people make out of their lives. Next case.
Here, Your Honor, is the third case.
Yeah, I see it's a lower case. Proceed, please.
Well, it's about me and my wife, Judge. It seems like only yesterday that we were married. She looked so pretty in her bridal torso.
Yeah. It's a very low case.
Yeah. The justice of the peace says, "You're married." So I put the ring on her finger. And then her old man takes the handcuffs off me. It was beautiful. Now all I got is memories. It seems like only yesterday.
Oh, touching. How long ago was it?
Yesterday.
Where did the trouble start?
In our little love nest.
You mean you weren't happy in your little love nest?
Nah. No privacy. Sparrows kept coming in and laying eggs.
My dear young man, you could have remedied that situation very easily.
Yeah? How?
Every time they laid an egg, you could have told a joke and laid two eggs.
Now wait a minute, okay. Judge. I was a tough baby, but I couldn't be that brutal.
You sound about as tough as a 10-cent steak right now.
Yeah, when I was a baby, I used to sit in my high chair blowing the foam off my milk. And that ain't all.
What else did you blow the foam off of?
Nothing. But I cried more than most babies. It was from the monotony.
I didn't know babies cried for monotony.
I did. I needed a change.
So much for your infancy. Too bad you never grew up. You might have been sent to school.
Oh, yeah. I was sent once for 2 years and once for 4 years. Got 3 months off for good behavior.
Where did you learn anything about good behavior?
Oh, from my wife. What a doll. I met her at reform school. It was co-educational.
Must have been love at first sight.
Yeah, I admired her professionally. She could pick my pocket faster than I could snatch her purse.
In that case, this court feels that you and your wife have very common interests in common and recommends that you try to make a go of it. For if you do, your life together, I'm sure, will be just one grand larceny.
Is that all, Judge?
No, for a while. Why don't you let your wife wear the pants in the family?
Why?
Well, then you can pick her pockets for a while.
Oh, that's good. Thank you, Judge.
This court declares a recess.
Recess? I'm not coming back. I'm going to play hooky.
Oh, yes. The Court of Bombastic Relations stands adjourned. The management asks you to drive carefully as you're leaving the courtroom. And while you're waiting to get out of the parking lot, tune in to hear Connie Boswell in the Old Craft Music Hall singing Sweethearts Are Strangers.
Sweethearts are strangers, it makes no difference now. I'll leave it up to you. Sweethearts are strangers, I'll get along somehow. What do you want to do? I guess I'll always love you, no matter what you say. By all the stars above you, we can't go on this way. Sweethearts are strangers, how do we go from here? Sweethearts are strangers, yeah.
Sweethearts are strangers, it makes no difference now. I leave it up to you. Sweethearts are strangers, I'll get along somehow. What do you want to do? I guess I'll always love you, no matter what you say. By all the stars above you, we can't go on this way. Sweethearts are strangers, how do we go from here? Sweethearts are strangers here.
Sweethearts are strangers, it makes no difference now. I'll leave it up to you. Sweethearts are strangers, I'll get along somehow. What do you want to do? I guess I'll always love you, no matter what you say. While all the stars above you, we can't go on this way. Sweethearts are strangers, how do we go from here? Sweethearts are strangers, dear.
Ah, solid, Connie. S-O-L.
Well, thanks, Jer. But if you think that was solid, S-O-L, listen here. E-A-R.
Well.
Mother, if you have trouble getting a family to eat all the vegetables they should have day after day, lend us your ears right now. Kraft has a solution to your problem. It's a delicious cheese sauce made the easy way with Velveeta, Kraft's smooth melting cheese food. You pour this golden Velveeta sauce over string beans, cauliflower, broiled tomatoes, eggplant, cabbage, broccoli, spinach, or onions. And then just sit back and watch the family demand seconds. Velveeta's rich yet mild cheddar cheese flavor turns the trick. And the beauty of it is, with Velveeta, smooth cheese sauce is a cinch to make. In the top of a double boiler, you just melt 1/2 pound of this cheese food. And then stir in 1/3 cup of milk. And your sauce is all ready to glorify those everyday vegetables and delight the family. And isn't it nice to know that Velveeta adds fine food value as well as flavor? Milk protein, milk minerals, food energy, vitamins A and G. This pasteurized cheese food supplies all of these. And Velveeta is digestible as milk, too. You'd better get a 1/2 pound package or a 2 pound loaf of Velveeta tomorrow and try this easy cheese sauce that makes vegetables go like magic at the dinner table. Remember, it's smooth melting Velveeta you must ask for. Professor Amici, I've made the most amazing discovery.
You mean at last you found out that 2 and 2 make 4?
Oh, no. I found that out last week.
Oh.
But this week I discovered that Rudyard Kipling's Gunga Din was a married man.
Oh, why, that's no discovery, Carp. The poem says he was a first-class fighting man.
Oh, now you're thinking of Fuzzy Wuzzy, Professor Amici. But I have conclusive proof that Gunga Din had 3 little Gungas.
What proof have you?
Well, I got them right here with me, sir.
What do you think this is, we the people?
Now, please, sir, I can prove to you that there were 3 little Gungas.
Very well, sir, prove it.
All right, I will. Bring them right in, sir. Bring them right over here. Here are the 3 little Gungas.
Mm-hmm.
Gunga 1, Gunga 2, and Gunga 3.
Boswell, shall we, Connor?
If you want it, Donna.
Time was when we had fun on the schoolyard swing.
When we exchanged graduation rings. One lovely yesterday.
Time was when we wrote love letters in the sand.
Or lingered over our coffee and
dreaming the time away.
Picnics and hay rides, midwinter sleigh rides, and never a thought.
Hikes in the country, and there's more than one tree on which I've a place in your heart. Darling, every tomorrow will be complete.
If all our moments are half as sweet
as all our time was then.
Time was when we had fun on the schoolyard swing, when we exchanged graduation rings one lovely yesterday.
Time was when we wrote love letters in the sand, or lingered over our coffee and dreaming the time away.
Picnics and hay rides, midwinter sleigh rides, and never a pause.
Hikes in the country, and there's more than one tree on which I've a place in your heart.
Oh, darling, every tomorrow will be complete.
If all our moments are half as sweet as all our time was there.
Yeah, it's a nice thought, Connie. Time was. Time was when you were singing with the Boswell sisters.
Yeah, and time was when Jerry Lester was just a little shaver who came up to his mother's knee.
Yeah, and stayed there.
Next time you want to borrow a bob, Carp, remember, I'm a little short.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about your heights, Jerry. Just look at Jackie Cooper. Time was when he was just a sprout in Paramount's picture Skippy. Now he's 19 years old, playing the title role in Paramount's picture Glamour Boy, and old enough for college, too.
Oh, Jackie's got plenty of time for college, Donzo. You know, you're never too old for the ever-loving Alma. Just look at some of the boys on the college football teams.
You mean they're overage?
Overage, Donzie. I knew one player who had so many lines on his face, the team used it as a practice field.
You shouldn't kid about college, Jerry. You've been all through it at Northwestern. You know what fraternity life is. The fellowship, the fun, the good times, the give and take.
Uh-huh. You give and your fraternity brother takes.
Oh, I guess there's nothing in the world like hearing a fraternity brother give you that warm, friendly greeting you can always count on. I can almost hear...
Hey, Sat! Can I borrow your socks?
Sorry, I'm wearing them.
Stingy.
Oh, gee whiz, everybody takes my stuff. Last week I lost a set of Stanford shoulder pads, a UCLA sweatshirt, a USC blanket, a University of Michigan co-ed. Somebody in this fraternity house isn't honest.
Well, don't look at me. I gotta have socks for tonight. I'm going formal.
Oh. Hey, that's right. Tonight's the night you have a date with that girl I fixed you up with.
Girl, he says.
What's the matter? I got that pigeon just for you, Jer.
Well, you can take that pigeon and put her back in the coop, Coop.
No, she's not so bad, Jerry. Maybe a little thin. But...
thin? She's the only girl I ever met who can do the conga in a phone booth.
But I thought you wanted a girl who didn't eat much. After all, you got to put out for everything she puts in.
Yeah, that ostrich put away so much the last time I took her out, I had to write home for more money. Quote, "Dear Dad, no mun, no fun, your son."
What was his answer?
How sad. Too bad. You're dead.
Well, you can always make out a check.
Yeah, I can make it out, but where can I cash it? I can't think of a single place where nobody knows me. Look, Coop, maybe you can help me out. After all, I'm your fraternity brother. When we're out on the campus in the middle of a rush, my arm is always over your shoulder. When we line up on the football field, my arm is always over your shoulder. When we're in the classroom in the middle of an examination...
Your eyes are always over my shoulder.
Stick around me, kid, and I'll show you a few things.
No, I'm sorry, Jerry, but I'm leaving the old college and the fraternity.
Leaving good old demented state?
I don't want to, Jerry, but if the dean doesn't take back what he said to me this morning, I'm going to leave college.
Oh, don't be a stoop, Coop. Leaving college just because of some trivial remark the dean made. What did he say?
He told me to leave college.
Look. Here comes Professor Amici, and he's got Dean Douglas with him. Quick, take a powder or we'll be chowdered.
We can't run out, Jerry. It's not sporting. It's not the manly thing to do. Besides, they're already here.
Oh, good evening, Dean, and welcome to our fraternity.
Moo, moo, moo.
I beg your pardon. What did you say?
Moo, moo, moo.
No use passing up a good thing, Professor Amici. Run back and get a pail.
Everybody pulls for moo, moo, moo.
Cooper and Lester, Professor Amici and I are not at all satisfied with your marks.
Isn't that a coincidence, sir? We've already complained about the very same thing.
Mm.
We told Professor Amici that if we were the dean here...
Cooper, you're not the dean here.
No, sir.
Then don't talk like an idiot.
Lester, just what were you doing all vacation?
I was working in my father's office.
And you, Cooper?
I was loafing, too.
Ah, you see, that explains why your examination papers were so very difficult to read. Your work should be written so that it can be understood by even the most ignorant person.
Well, what part of it didn't you get, sir?
Well, on page three... Never mind that, young man, never mind that. You boys will have a chance to improve your marks when the makeup test is given next week. The examination papers are already in the hands of the printer. Now, do you boys have any questions at all?
Yeah. Who is the printer?
Cooper! I'm surprised at you. You're here to study, to work. Why do you suppose parents send their sons to college?
Gee, Dean, don't you know either?
No. You must realize, young man, that this isn't high school. There are certain changes that must be made. Many problems you've got to solve.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right, Dean. Tell the boys what you think was the hardest thing you had to learn in college, will you?
How to open bottles with half dollars. No. As I was saying, young men, I want to help you boys. After all, we of the faculty realize you're still beginners. You're still youngsters. You're still cubs. But in all my years as dean here, I'm proud to say I've always been for the Cubs.
Yeah, and I had to pick the Yankees today. Murder!
And you'll able to learn that college isn't all play.
The best part of it is, Dean.
And Lester, can you give me one reason why you put the lights out in those three sorority houses? Delta Psi, Delta Lambda, and Delta Mu.
Oh, you can have a lot of fun when it's darkness on the Delta. Hey, Dean, remember?
Yes, indeed. No, of course I
remember. Well, make up your mind, do you, don't you?
We don't mean to cause any trouble, Dean Douglas, but every fraternity has its little quirks.
We certainly do. What did you say?
Quirks.
Oh, we got those, too.
Yes, well, now, you two young quirks, there's just one more thing I want to say. I've received a number of complaints about your drumming, Cooper.
What's the matter, sir? Isn't it hot enough?
No, I understand, my boy. I understand how fond you are of music. When I was in college, I played a musical instrument myself.
Well, what's that got to do with him? He beats the skins.
Well, I played the zither rather well. There used to be an expression on the campus, when Douglas plays his zither, the quad is all a dither.
Yeah. How do you like that? A hep dean. Mm-hmm. Well, now they say when Cooper gets a thumping, he's got the joint a jumping.
Is this true, Cooper?
True. He's so hep, Buddy Pepper and Inez James wrote a ditty about him. It's called Rooty Zooty, Mac's Son Jackson. Ooh. Get a load of this, Dean. This'll send you solid. Beat it, Coop, and we'll all follow you.
There's a boy down the street with a beat, and when you hear him play, you get fidgety feet. He can dig the most delightful licks, zag and zig it with the skin and sticks. Gather round, you're bound for a treat. Well, a reet. He's the heppest man in town. He's a solid killer diller. All the gators hang around Rooty Zooty Maxon Jackson. When he really starts to ride, every little Jack and Jiller stay down the mellow side. Rooty Zooty Maxon Jackson, he can jam from Bach to Boogie Woogie, and the band on the stand will demand a little Dixieland. If you really want a jive, want to hear a thriller, dilla, zoot, man, you can dip and dive with Rooty Zooty Maxon Jackson.
He's the heppest man in town. On the snare drum, he's a killer. let's the two him roll on down. When he really starts to ride, starts to dig it deep and mellow, strictly on the cymbal side.
He can jam from Bach to Boogie, and the band on the stand will demand a little Dixieland. Here's a solid kick that's fine for an ending. It's a killer zoot, man. You can double time.
Dean, that's the way it sounded to us. How did it sound to you?
Hit me with a hot note and watch me bounce.
Oh, keen, Dean. Keen.
You know, we of the faculty are musically inclined, too. I almost forgot Professor Amici sings a bit, too.
Really? Well, make us know it, Prof.
Amour, amour, amour. My heart is true, it's just for you, so won't you love me? Amour, amour, amour. I only know there couldn't be my love without thee. This pure passion's fire burning my heart aflame. This wild sweet desire yearning with bitter pain. This strange mystery, no matter where you may be, for all of eternity I know I love you. Amour, amour, amour. My lips are still, my heart will thrill to your caresses. Amour, amour, amour. My love is thine, tell me you're mine, and end my loneliness. My love is thine, tell me you're mine, and end my loneliness. Amour, amour.
Oh, Don, what ease, what charm, what beauty.
Oh, well, thanks, Jer. I didn't know you were that enthusiastic about my singing.
Who's talking about your singing? I'm talking about Florence George.
Oh.
Prettiest concert star, what I'm seeing.
Well, thank you, Jerry. But don't you think it would be better to wait until after I finish singing to say such things?
Oh, after you finish singing, Flossie, I have other plans for us.
Well, that'd be right after Florence finishes singing the lovely waltz from Gounod's opera, Romeo and Juliet, accompanied by Homer Samuels. Miss Florence George.
Dans ses rêves qui m'ont fait vibrer. Je
was really, really beautiful, Florence.
She sure is. Sings a nice song, too. So that was the waltz from Romeo and Juliet.
That's right, Jerry. Do you know anything about Romeo and Juliet?
Haven't heard a thing. What have they been up to lately?
Jerry, I mean the play. Surely you must know the balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet.
Nope, but I know the fire escape scene from up in Mabel's room.
Romeo and Juliet, Jerry, the great play by Shakespeare, first presented in 1597. John Barrymore scored one of his great successes in it.
Keeps his age well, doesn't he?
You know, I think you better tell Jerry the story, Florence.
Oh, Flo, you're going to tell me a story. Just like Mother used to do.
Just like your mother used to do.
Well, Mother used to let me sit on her lap.
Well, some mothers certainly have to put up with a lot. But if you want the story, Jerry, once upon a time, Romeo and Juliet were in love. But Juliet's family wanted her to marry a young man named Paris. And Julie wasn't interested in Paris.
And that was the last time she saw Paris.
Of course not, Jerry. Because Juliet's family went ahead and arranged a match between Juliet and Paris.
How many rounds?
Jerry, this is a marriage.
I still say, how many rounds?
It was a marriage that never took place. A friendly friar told Juliet her family would think she was dead and entomb her if she would just drink a potion he had prepared.
Nice friendly friar, slipping over a Mickey.
Julie took the potion, and her family, believing her dead, had her entombed. When Romeo arrived at the tomb and saw Juliet, he stabbed himself.
Oh, a doubleheader.
But it turned out Juliet wasn't really dead after all. She awoke from the drug, but when she saw the body of Romeo beside her, she killed herself.
Oh, well, I'm glad the whole thing ended on a happy note.
Yeah, and so does Florence's story, dear, as she sings Meredith Wilson's popular composition, You and I, Florence Stewart. very lovely, Florence.
Yep, very flossy, Flossy.
Thank you, boy.
We should thank you, Florence, for that was truly something to carry in our memories.
Yep, it sure was. And believe me, my memory's getting pretty crowded.
Well, no matter how crowded your memory gets, Jerry, never forget these important thoughts. The thoughts, please, sir.
We hear a lot right now about consumer education. Well, here's something every smart consumer of cheese should know. When you want rich yet mild cheddar cheese flavor, Velveeta is the thing to ask for. This cheese food is rich in milk protein and milk minerals. It's an excellent source of vitamins A and G. It's digestible as milk. And most important of all, it always has a coaxingly rich, mild flavor, the flavor that millions love. And it always melts smooth, toasts to perfection. The 2-pound Velveeta loaf is really the best buy. It keeps you stocked for all sorts of Velveeta treats, sandwiches, snacks, rich sauces, baked dishes. But of course, Kraft also packs a 1/2-pound size. Get some tomorrow. And remember, for cheddar flavor that's rich yet mild, the smart shopper's password is Velveeta.
Why am I sitting alone tonight when I could be out where lights are bright? It's all because of Jim. Why am I wasting these precious years? Why am I crying these bitter tears? It's all because of Jim. It's all because of Jim. Jim doesn't ever bring me pretty flowers. Never tries to cheer my lonely hours. I don't know why I'm so crazy for Jim. Jim never tells me I'm his heart's desire. Never seem to set his heart afire. Gone are the years I've wasted on him. Now sometimes when I get feeling, let's call it quits. Then I hang on and let him go, breaking my heart in bed. Oh, someday I know that Jim will up and leave me. But even if he does, you can believe me, I'll go on carrying the torch for Jim. I know that I should be the one to up and go, but I can't, 'cause I'd go crazy. I know without him, that's why I'm gone.
And with that touching ballad by Connie Boswell, we close the Old Craft Music Hall until next Thursday evening, same time we got started tonight, when we'll have with us such Craft Music Hall alumni as Doug Fairbanks, Jr., Duke Ellington, and Robert Coote of the RCAF. So until next Thursday, when we hope you'll be with us in the Old Craft Music Hall, this is Don Amici saying, Buenas noches.
Tune in to Craft Music Hall next week at this same time to hear Don Amici and Jerry Lester, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Connie Boswell and the Music Maid. Special guests for the evening will be Douglas Fairbanks, Jr., Duke Ellington, and Robert Coote. Music Hall comes to you from Hollywood's Radio City.
Uh-oh, 6 o'clock already. But food, good food, will be ready in a jiffy if you have a box of the product called Kraft Dinner. For with Kraft Dinner, you make fluffy, tender macaroni drenched with rich cheese sauce in just 7 minutes cooking time. In every package of Kraft Dinner, there's a special quick-cooking macaroni and ready grated cheese that gives you grand sauce in a twinkling. So for hurry-up luncheons, for quick-made dinners, for macaroni lovers' treats, get Kraft Dinner. It gives you swell macaroni and cheese in 7 minutes cooking time. The Rudy Valley Seal Test Program with John Barrymore will follow immediately over most of these same stations. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.